I want to talk to you about that place that we all love to be this morning. That place, I guess, in Scripture, it's described in various ways. Peace, contentment. It's that feeling that you are just happy beyond belief. Where do these things come from? Where does the peace of God, where does the contentment of life, and where does the joy come from? It comes from an absolute trust in God. And that's the bottom line. I think that's the stake we drive into the ground. That's the foundational issue of all of our lives, is can you and can I, can we put our trust in God no matter what is going on in this complicated, confused, chaotic world? Can we say, God, no matter what might come my way, no matter what is facing me, no matter what trial, what problem, what trouble, I'm going to trust you? And that's the theme of this morning. Well, at least one of the themes of this morning is, and this is one of my goals this morning, is you leave here with a heightened sense of faith, that your faith could grow this morning, and that, who can tell me where faith comes from? Faith comes from the Word of God and from hearing the Word of God. It builds as we speak the Word of God, as we meditate on the Word of God, as we think about the Word of God, our faith level builds. So I want to introduce the psalm that I'm going to look at this morning, which is Psalm 62, with just a little bit of history. And I want to talk to you about the power of words. It was pretty funny. Brad Wood came into my booth last night, and it was just like a confirmation of the message. Brad came in, we were talking about the power of words and how strong words are and what they can mean and how they can change someone's life, and how any of you who just speak an encouraging word into anybody's life during any part of a day, you can change their lives. How many know that's true? You can choose to speak encouraging words and change people's lives, or you can complain and criticize and point out what's wrong. All of us have a lot of things that aren't quite right. Is that true? But a lot of us have a lot of things that are right. And so, you know, it's a good thing to do is just point those things out. So before you leave here this morning, I'm going to give you a bit of homework. Before you leave Little Church by the Sea this morning, say something encouraging to at least one person. Yeah, think about who that might be. All right, a little history. I want to talk about World War II, that during the desperate days of World War II, as Nazi Germany swept over Europe and bore down upon Great Britain, the English people were naturally terrified. Would they survive, especially as Germany launched the Great Blitz, the bombing of London, night after night after night? And with morale at an all-time low, the feisty English Prime Minister Winston Churchill took to the airwaves and he made this a declaration to his people. Churchill said, "We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches, we shall fight on ground, we shall fight in the hills, we shall fight in the fields, we shall fight in the streets, we will never, ever surrender." That speech is credited with lifting the spirits of the English people so high that hope and optimism was released in a way that had never been felt by the people before during the war. That is the power of an authoritative declaration. That is the power of words. The power of an authoritative declaration builds faith, it releases hope, and it drives out fear. The power, for those of you taking notes, I'll repeat that one more time. The power of an authoritative declaration builds faith, releases hope, and it drives out fear. This book, the Bible, is a book full of God's declarations. God declares from Genesis through Revelation, he declares to us truth. God declares things that are absolute. They're absolute declarations. They are bold declarations. They are certain declarations. They are without fail declarations. They are emphatic declarations. They are given to us to make us rise in faith and believe. They are absolutes, not maybes. When God speaks, it's not maybes, not perhaps, not possibilities, not probabilities, not, well, maybe God said it and it might happen, or God, let's hope what God says happens. The Word of God, God's declarative words, are absolute and they are certain and they are true. The Bible resounds with clear, bold, and authoritative declarations meant to cause your life to go well simply by believing what God has said. And all of our issues in our walk with God, in our Christian experience, all of our issues fluctuate between, do we really believe, or are we struggling with unbelief? Do we really think God's going to come through, or are we not quite certain? Again, God speaks and his words are true and amen. For instance, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Romans 8:1. That is a declarative truth. God says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And if you're here this morning and you're struggling with shame or guilt or self-condemnation from yesterday or the past somewhere, it's not God that's bringing that to you. That's coming from somewhere else. It's coming from your own insecurities or from the enemy or someone. But it is an absolute. You can sit here this morning knowing if you have given your heart to Jesus Christ that there is absolutely no condemnation for your life one way or another. Why is that? Because Jesus took all of your condemnation, all of your judgment upon himself when he died on the cross. How does that feel this morning? How many of you are glad that you're sitting here washed and cleansed? You don't have to worry about your sins anymore. You are free this morning. You are not bound in guilt and shame unless you allow that. If you want to allow that, that's fine. And if I'm sitting in my, if I'm sitting outside and there's rattlesnakes all running around me, and while I can just let them be there, you know, or I can drive them off. So if you hear any words of shame or self-condemnation, say, get out of here. That's not of God. All things work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. I can see myself, I can feel myself getting loud. Yeah. I'm getting excited. Maybe it's Sleepy Ray that got me excited on the guitar. All things work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Not most things. Not lots of things. Not 98% of things. I don't care how painful, how difficult, it makes no sense. In your life, all things, whatever's happened to you, God promises all things work together for the good, for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. What are you facing today? What trouble, what trial, what difficulty are you going through that you could say this morning, okay, God, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let the wondering of what's going to happen go. I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to believe all things work together for the good. One or two more. How about, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. Come unto me, all you who are beat up and tired and finding life difficult and struggling, and you're feeling like life's too much. Come unto me, Jesus says, and I probably will give you rest. I might give you rest. I hope you'll get some rest somehow, one way or another. Absolutely not. An authoritative declaration by Jesus. I will and I shall give you rest. So who here feels a little beat up this morning? Who here feels a little tired this morning? Who here feels a little frazzled by life today? Who here is wondering, why can't this problem get solved? What am I going to do? You're fretting and you're worried and you're anxious and all of these things. So what are you going to do? Well, Jesus says, just come to me. Just come to him. And you know what you do? You come to the Lord and you say, Lord, I'm going to give you this business problem. I'm going to give you this relationship problem. I'm going to give you this church problem. I'm going to give you whatever the problem might be. And then just sit back and allow the rest and the comfort and peace of God come. So if you have something today that you're struggling with, it's difficult, you give it to God. Maybe one more. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. The verse doesn't say, don't be anxious except for the really tough stuff. Don't be anxious when you feel like it. It's a declaration of certainty. It's be anxious for nothing. And then he tells us, the Holy Spirit tells us in that verse what to do. You pray. And you thank God as you pray. And then the peace of God will come upon you as you give whatever the challenge of your life might be. So, Lord, I'm praying for every person here. I'm asking God that you will bring peace and contentment into their lives, whatever they're facing, whatever they've been going through, whatever today is difficult for them. May the Holy Spirit encourage you and help you today with the hard things of life. All right, Psalm 62 is the psalm we're going to look at. All of this was a primer, a preview of the psalm. Now, what we have in Psalm 62, if you have your, I'm using the Pew Bible, it's there, it's on page 479. It's on page 479. What we have here is this seasoned, I guess I could use the word, the contemporary word, veteran, David. He's a seasoned man, and David can speak to us and declare to us absolutes this morning because he has lived through dozens and dozens and dozens of times of his life when things were falling apart. And in this psalm, It appears to be written somewhat near the end of his life. In this psalm, he's having more challenges again. And it seems like every week. By the way, did you notice that Ray sang Psalm 42 to us? One of the psalms we looked at a few weeks ago when he sang his song. Psalm 42 has that famous line, "Why are you in despair, O my soul?" And similarly, in this psalm, we find David talking to God. And I shared with you a few weeks back, one of the best things you can do throughout your day is talk to God. How many of you know that? One of the best things that you can do as you go through your day is just keep talking to God. Okay, God, I'm going to go in this person's office here, and he's not all that easy. Would you help me? Lord, I'm feeling a little bit tired today. Would you, like, strengthen me today? That's what, where it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, it's verse 17 or 18, pray without ceasing. It's a lifestyle of prayer. It's a lifestyle of connecting with God. This is the kind of life that David had. This is the kind of life that God would like you to have. Did you hear what I just said? This is the kind of life that God would like you to have. This consistent connection. John 15 calls it abiding, living in God. All day long, just talking to God, thinking about God, drawing your heart to God, conversing with God. This is the Christian life. Because guess what? One of the most amazing things has taken place in your life when you ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, and that is that God has come and he's living inside you. And he is present and he is there for us, for you and for me, to draw our hearts to the Lord and just begin to talk to him as if he's sitting in the front seat of the car with us every single moment of our day. All right, what I'd like to do is I'll read the psalm, Psalm 62, from our Pew Bible, the English Standard Version. And the title, as you see at the top here, is My Soul Waits for God Alone. And again, we want to focus on what I've been saying. We are going to look here for the absolutes, for the declarations of David. These are David's declarations. I was thinking last night, this is like a YouTube video. Psalm 62 is like a YouTube video in which David is speaking to us, or like a TED Talk. It's a brief 12 verses of David encouraging us in life. And so he writes, three of the most powerful words to start this psalm that you'll read anywhere in your Bible, for God alone. Boy, when you get that, you're well on your way to a triumphant life in Christ. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. And let me interject here, that word salvation, you can put salvation slash deliverance. Salvation and deliverance, almost the same word. From him comes my salvation. From him comes my deliverance. He alone is my rock and my salvation. Notice that word alone is now used a second time. For God alone in verse 1, and then he alone is my rock and salvation. Verse 2, my fortress, I shall not be greatly shaken. And now he's going to speak to his enemies. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him? Like a leaning wall, a tottering fence. They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. So David now is describing his enemies. And when he talks here in verse 3 about the leaning wall and the tottering fence, he's talking about himself. He's leaning. He's like barely standing up, but he is standing, but he's tottering. And how many of you have ever been in life situations where you feel like you're tottering a little bit, like you're a little shaken? And that's what he says in verse 2. I'm not greatly shaken. I'm a little bit shaken. I'm tottering just a little bit, but I'm trusting God. And then in verse 5, he repeats what he said almost word for word in verse 1. Now, I've said this to you before, that when God repeats something twice, perk up your ears. It's like when Jesus says in the New Testament, truly, truly, I say to you. When there's two trulies, or verily, verily in the Old Testament, verily, verily, when I say to you, then perk up your ears, something important is coming. So David is speaking in verse 5, what he already has spoken of in verse 1 again. And so the emphasis here is God alone, all right? It's God alone and nothing else, all right? This is what David's after in your life and my life, that we finally get it, that we finally realize that it's God alone that is going to take care of the situation that we're in our life, or have been in our life, or will be in our life. It's only God. May I say, it's not the government. It's not your well-meaning friends. It's not all these other stuff that's going on that say, well, maybe we can help you. It's God alone who comes in and understands us right down to the very core of our souls. It's God alone. It's God only. This is absolute declaration by David. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. So you'll notice in verse 5, the first part of that verse is rearranged a little, where he's speaking to himself. For God alone, my soul, we wait in silence. We wait in silence, for my hope is from him. This is where you and I need to be. We need to know our hope is only in God. It's only there. Don't be fooled that there's hope somewhere else. There may be temporary hope here, a little temporary hope there, but real, lasting, concrete, rock-solid hope is only found in God. He only is my rock, my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God, verse 7, rest my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Are you getting the feeling of what David is saying? Everything is about God. My hope is about God. I'm waiting on God. I'm trusting in God. God is my fortress. God is everything to me. David keeps saying over and over, using these words, God alone, or God only. There's nothing else. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Now comes the crescendo of the symphony and the clashing of the cymbals. Verse 8. Little church by the sea, Everett Blanton, Mary Dean, Marcia, Roberta, Bill, Gary, trust in him at all times. That's the overriding message of this psalm. Trust in God no matter what. It doesn't matter how crazy life is, how unfair life has seemed, how difficult life right now is upon you. You don't think your needs are being met, or this or that. Just look at verse 8, and I exhort you to put your full and complete trust in God no matter what. This is why in the New Testament in Hebrews, we are told to walk by faith, not by sight. When you walk by sight and you just look at the circumstances of life, you're in trouble. If you're looking at the circumstances of life, you're in trouble. Every trial, every trouble, every problem is not bad. It is an opportunity for you to grow. It is an opportunity for you to change. It is an opportunity for you to become more like Jesus. And how many here would like to become more like Jesus? Everything that's hard in your life is an opportunity. It is the thalipsis, the pressures of life that God uses to transform you, change you, and make you what He wants to be. He wants you to be someone like His Son. This is the conforming, sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. This is His main job. The Holy Spirit's main job is not just that you receive Jesus. The main job of the Holy Spirit is, yes, that you receive Jesus, and then that He begins to mold and shape your life to become more like Jesus. To become more like Jesus. And I hope I'm a little more like Jesus now than I was 40 years ago. I just hope I am. All right. The clashing of the cymbals, verse 8. The highlight of the morning, verse 8. What I want you to take out of here this morning, verse 8. Trust in the Lord at most of the time? At, 99% of the time. That would be good. No. Oh, no. That's not good. 99% of the time is not good. You trust in Him all the time. All the time. Pour out your heart before Him. God loves that. You can pour out your heart before Him and say, Lord, I'm trusting You, but I don't like what You're doing. I don't like what You've allowed me to go through. I don't know why I'm in this office. I don't know why I'm in this neighborhood. I don't know why I'm in this situation. I don't know why everything seems crazy right now. That's not the issue. The issue is you just pour out your life. Pour out your heart. God, I'm hurting. You said come unto me, I'm coming to You. I'm hurting. But Lord, I'm going to trust You. You know, it's just like you're standing on the top of the mountain and the storm's raging. And you're saying, Lord, the storm's raging, but I'm going to trust You no matter what. I'm going to trust You. Oh, if I told you the times, if I had time to tell the stories about when I thought I was going to sink, times I thought I wasn't going to make it. Well, look at me. Am I here?
Yes.
Am I here? I made it. I've made it through 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 times in my life where everything was just going completely insane. And I'm here. All of you are here. All of you can give testimony, I'm here. Which means God's taken you through and got you to where you are right now. He has never left you. He's never forsaken you. He's never like drifted off and somehow passed you by. God has always been there and He always will be there for you. Amen?
Amen?
He's never not there for you. This is the way God is. So the psalm's going to end now, and there's going to be this interplay of words in which the message is going to be, don't trust what you see in life, and don't think there's sneaky ways in life that you can profit yourself. Listen, verse 9. I think I need new glasses. These numbers are so small, I can barely see it. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up, they are altogether lighter than a breath. This sounds just like Psalm 39. Lord, tell me, how brief is life? Well, I'm telling you, it's pretty brief. Think back 10 years ago. Was that very long ago? Wow, it wasn't. Verse 10. Put no trust in extortion, no vain hope in robbery. If riches increase, set your heart not on them. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Whatever it looks like, maybe tempting you, or maybe you do have a windfall, don't trust in riches. Don't trust in those things that temporarily are going to kind of boost you up. Verse 11 and verse 12 concludes the psalm. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard. God spoken to David. David had ears to hear what the Spirit said. That power belongs to God. Now, why does he say that? What he's saying here is the same thing that he said through the beginning verses. There's no place else to go, everyone. Real power, the real issues of life, the answers are all found just in God alone. Verse 12, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. And this is where David comes from. Everything that David has written comes out of the wellspring of his heart and how certain he knows that God loves him. For you will render to man according to his works. And this is David's 1 Corinthians 3. His first Corinthians 3 impartation to us that when life is all over, there will be an account for us to give of how we've lived. It won't be a matter of salvation, but we all stand before the bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, and we'll have a look at our life. So this psalm this morning, this psalm is a great psalm of hope. Declarative absolutes, God declaring certainties, boldly telling you, you can trust in him. You can put your hope in God. You can walk out of here this morning knowing that God always is there every single second of the day.